You good, Doug?
Yep.
All right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve the accounts payable. That'd be the cycle date 325 through 329. Amount of $743,416.83. Note that the county managers have reviewed and approved such.
Is that... That's it. Oh, okay.
That's it.
Okay. Second.
Other discussion? Items of note?
Yes, we had two different run dates of checks. One was on March 25th, and under that, the items included payment to Bratton Enterprises for Public Works Department and the purchase of scorium, $7,456. Payment to the Town of Hayden from YBRA. This is for law enforcement services at the airport during February 2019, $11,530.85. Payment to the Hayes Group, and this is for our health insurance pool, and the quarterly payment for second quarter of $10,000. Payment to TM Service Company Inc. This is building a plant, and this is for the boiler at the Justice Center, the replacement of the one boiler at the Justice Center, $53,772. Payment to 3B Enterprises LLC. This is also Public Works. And purchase of salt and sand, $3,179. And then payment to Yampa Valley Sustainability County Council for the recycling budget, 2019 waste diversion funding, that payment, $22,000. Then with the run date for March 28th, we had distributions of our dedicated mill levies to Horizons Specialized Services for their developmental disabilities, and then to Historic Ralph County, Hans P. Carey Historical Society of Oak Creek in Pittsburgh, Tread of Pioneers Historical Commission, and Yampa Egeria Historical Society. So those payments were distributed from those dedicated funds.
Thanks. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So our work session yesterday, we had updates from the county manager and legal, as well as human resources, emergency management, I can't speak this morning, and the sheriff's office, as well as a work session on subdivision regulations and policies.
Madam Chair, I move to approve consent agenda items A, B, C, and D.
Second.
Do you guys have anything you want to state before we... Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Do you want to... Oh, yeah, I'll sign that for you. Okay, got it.
No offense, but I've been seeing you guys too much.
Well, we're sorry for you.
Yeah. We're very pleasant.
I'm not sure which item is first. Does it matter?
We have the Mammoth Network.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm here. And both of these items we talked about yesterday in our monthly update. So we're here asking for consideration to waive a formal bid process and approve and sign the Mammoth Network service agreement related to the network connection between Routt County and Grand Cap County that will establish a redundant path and create a geodiverse environment for the 911 phone system. So some background information here. We did have three quotes from vendors. One from CenturyLink, one from AT&T, and then the Mammoth Networks. A couple of things that I felt like we were on the right path with this. One, the cost was less than the other two vendors. We already have an existing business relationship with Mammoth Networks, and their proposal was basically satisfied our needs, the needs of the Motorola Solutions team, our vendor for the 911 phone system, and Grand County was on board with us doing this as well. So just to review, The cost of the network is on the attachment, $750 for the setup, non-recurring charges, and then our monthly charges are going to be $1,050 a month. And related to that, the Grand County agreement that we're going to do, our proposal is to have Grand County pay half of the, basically pay half of the network. So the agreement will be with us, and then we'll ask for them reimbursement at the end of the year. Happy to answer any questions. I don't know what else is of interest.
So, just for the record then, this project, or the need for this, will be more than just in case of an emergency. There'll be an ongoing use of this system if we have an overload of calls, things of that nature?
That's correct. So this will give us the ability to house Grand County's data as backup, and Grand County will be housing our data as backup, and those are outlined in the next agreement that we're going to be talking about. This will be a dedicated network, 50 megabit per second network, between the two. So the two 911 systems will stay connected all the time. They'll be constantly communicating with each other. They see the status of each other's networks, what's going on with the phone calls, that sort of thing. And we have the ability to set up our system on our end a little bit different than Grand County. In other words, if we want to do rollovers, automatic rollovers, if we don't answer the 911 phone for some reason, the system will automatically recognize that after 20 seconds or 20 rings or whatever, however we configure that, and then the call will present in Grand County automatically through the network. Then, secondary to that, we have the emergency situation. It's referred to as make busy in the telephone industry. We call it bug out. So if we have to leave, we have a magic switch on the wall that we can flip the switch, and it'll automatically route all the calls over to whichever center. In this case, it would be Grand County.
So even if we didn't have the comm van, if the comm van was out of service, we would still be able to maintain the 911 service?
Correct. And we'll have the ability through our 911 phone system with our remote computers, telephone computers, to be able to connect at either end. We can connect to the Route County end, or we can connect to the Grand County end. So if we have to activate in the EOC, or we have to use our mobile communications vehicle, we have a choice of where we, which end we want to connect to based on whatever the need is at the time and whatever the emergency is. We feel like this is the right thing to do. So
in other words, it's not just for a singular emergency. It is the ongoing utility.
Yeah, this is, it's part of our plan for the next 5 years to utilize this and be part of our 911 phone system. And there's a couple of other comm centers in the Northwest region that are looking at the same type of system and same type of setup. So there's a high probability that at some point in the future, we may be back with additional agreements with connectivity to Rio Blanco or to Moffitt County doing the same type thing.
Great.
So I have a question just about that. So you said that you got quotes. So then why is this a waiver of the process? I don't know if...
Yeah, and it may be incorrect. We may not necessarily need to waive a formal bid process. And I don't have the copies of the quotes here in front of me, but the CenturyLink was $1,600 a month, and
right,
the AT&T was $1,925 or $1,950 a month.
I guess it just sounds to me like you did go through the process. Am I missing something?
We didn't go through a formal bid process.
Okay.
We just asked for quotes.
Got it. It was just, okay, that makes sense.
Basically, ask for quotes in network design based on a minimum amount of network speed, which was 50 megabits per second.
Mm-hmm.
What can you give us for 50 megabits per second between here and there? Something that the Mammoth networks did was we already had existing fiber connected from the CenturyLink central office over to the cliff, and Grand County had the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Had we not utilized Mammoth networks, there would be some construction cost for fiber with CenturyLink to extend the fiber into our building, and the same thing on the other end.
Yeah, I understand why Mammoth ended up being the cheapest. I guess I'm just confused about whether or not this is actually a waiver of the formal process.
Yeah, I think that, Commissioner Mountain's comments, I think that's what we're trying to stay away from a little bit.
I totally understand that.
We actually believe what you're doing is the right thing to do. We don't understand exactly why it's a waiver, and then actually it's probably, you know, it's you've already sent out requests for quotes, and you've got those quotes and the rest. And I guess my understanding is that you guys are working on some type of process, purchasing, and the rest is working on some type of a process to memorialize those for at least a short time.
Yeah, I think it's likely that in this case it may be Jason's responsibility to memorialize those.
Exactly. And yes.
Retained in by purchasing. It depends on the threshold, the overall dollar threshold maybe, in terms of why it would be a waiver versus the normal process. So it may be increased or above the annual contract amount that would kick it into a different process. But ultimately, I think, you know, he went through what is an acceptable process for the 20,000 and below.
The wording on the agenda form is probably inaccurate.
So I guess that's my question, is what our motion is. I mean, are we actually waiving the formal bid process, or are we just approving
this contract? I don't think we are.
Contract?
Yep.
Opinions from the peanut gallery?
What's the harm of making the motion waiving the formal bid process?
We're not actually waiving it.
Probably the record that says we waived the formal bid process and we're not actually doing that necessarily.
You don't need to waive the formal bid.
Okay. So we just need to, because of the threshold, the dollar amount, is that right?
That might be the
it's probably the dollar amount.
So maybe in the recommended action, we can take the to waive the formal bid process out and just motion to authorize the chair to sign the amendment.
Approve and sign the amendment.
So I have a comment.
No, it's okay. I'm just asking questions.
And I just want to thank you for doing the work on this and the reaching out and the opportunity here. And, you know, it's a great step forward in our communication system. And I think it's really innovative. And, you know, I don't know. We could have, would have, should have been doing this forever. And, you know, who knows? Hell, we didn't have any redundancy in our own house.
Right.
And it come close to having redundancy that's outside of our house.
I've mentioned that to you guys in updates in the past. That's something that makes me lose sleep at night. And I will feel a lot better about this.
I'm going to give you some rest now.
Well, and I guess my comment,
I appreciate the recognition.
It's really nice to be able to collaborate with our neighboring county.
Yes.
And not just for the sake of collaboration. Something that really makes sense and a win-win for both.
Well, and really saves us a lot of money as opposed to creating our own redundancy, which is great.
Well, we know there's going to be some long-term cost here. I mean, we're looking at about $6,300 a year.
Right.
And, you know, we know the cost of that equipment. If we'd had our own backup, would have been another $70,000, and we would still have to have a network between the two. It might not have been as expensive, but.
And we'd have to need another location somewhere.
Right, exactly.
I mean, outside, you can't have them in the same place.
Right.
Defeats the purpose. So I feel like we understand this. I think ready for a motion?
So, Madam Chair, I move that we approve the contract with Mammoth Networks and approve the and authorize your signature on a Mammoth Network service agreement related to the network connection between Rouse County and Grant County to establish a redundant path and create a geodiverse environment for the 911 phone system.
Second. There's also initials on each page.
Yep. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Geodiverse almost threw me, but
just means there's a big mountain between one end and the other.
Yep. Are those two-sided?
It didn't look like
okay.
It. Oh, yes, they are.
Sorry about that.
No,
a lot,
it's
a
all
lot
right.
There.
I flipped through and I didn't see them. I can keep signing this while we discuss the next item if you'd like. So this is the sharing of the E911 phone system.
Yes. So we're asking for consideration to approve and sign the intergovernmental agreement for the sharing of 911 phone system infrastructure between Grand County and Rouse County. This agreement establishes the relationship and the responsibilities related to the network connection between Rouse and Grand County and establishes a redundant path and creates a geodiverse environment for the 911 phone system. And the county attorney, actually assistant county attorney, did the work on this, working with the Grand County attorney for the agreement that we have. And I have her stamped approval here. So just a couple of points about the agreement. Basically what it does, it points out what our responsibilities are in the case of us having to use each other's infrastructure and in the case that we're occupying each other's comm center. So give you an example. Let's say there's some type of disaster. Maybe they have a fire at the Grand County Sheriff's Office and they can't occupy their comm center, so they need a place to work. this agreement outlines that we would provide them the ability to use the infrastructure for that purpose, so they would be able to come and sit down in our comm center, log in, and take their 911 calls just like they're sitting in Grand County. Vice versa, we'd be able to do the same thing. Even though they don't have as much space in Grand County, we would be able to go do the same thing at their center. It basically talks about the the sharing of the network and whose responsibility that is, which we just went through that approval. I don't have any concerns about the agreement. I feel like it's answers all of the questions that need to be answered for us to go forward for this project.
And this agreement also identifies the cost to Grand County.
Actually, it shouldn't be any cost associated with this.
Well, they reimburse us for the item we just signed.
Yes, it does. It doesn't specifically mention what the cost is, but it does mention the 50% cost sharing.
Oh, yeah, here.
And, yeah, I apologize.
Route shall bill Grand County for 50% of all
right,
costs.
Right, yes, item 5 under agreements, terms, and conditions.
So this is an agreement we'll re-sign on an annual basis. Is that right?
I think that it's identified as perpetual.
Okay.
So, yes.
It automatically.
Yes, in July of, actually, the initial term is through December 31st.
Okay.
And it'll automatically be renewed for 1 year unless either county terminates by writing no later than November 1st.
Oh, yes, I remember that part in there. Thank you.
So it's a perpetual agreement until we cancel it.
You know, what's interesting about this is that, you know, I remember 4 or 5 years ago talking about the potential for a regionalized 911 system, you know, partnering with potentially the Forest Service and the BLM and other counties. And it feels like maybe we're taking a first step towards that. I mean, and part of the reason I don't think we ever really were serious about it because the infrastructure didn't exist to do it, but now we're creating that infrastructure. So I see the potential in the out years that we may actually be able to save some money for all around the board. So are you ready for a motion?
I am.
Madam Chair, I would move to authorize your signature on an intergovernmental agreement for the sharing of the E911 phone system infrastructure between Grand County and Route County related to the network connection between Route County and Grand County to establish a redundant path and create a geodiverse environment for the 911 phone system.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thanks, Jason.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It doesn't take you less than 30 seconds. It should be okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
I was going to call you Councilwoman, but you are not here.
I'm not.
In your official capacity.
That's correct.
So go ahead and tell us what you're here for.
Sure. So April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. I'm not sure if in the past advocates have come to do a proclamation for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. We have pretty much every year for Domestic Violence Awareness Month in October.
I think she's right. I don't think we've done domestic violence. I don't think we did sexual awareness, sexual assault.
So
is that a different month?
It is. So okay. April is Sexual Assault Awareness. October is Domestic Violence Awareness. So you guys get to see me at least 2 times a year, which is exciting. Mostly why we do this, to be honest, is number one, to get some buy-in from the county, and we do it with the city and the towns, but also to give you guys just an update about what we're working on in the community. So, you know, I came in October, and Ms. Melton wasn't here yet, but she knows, luckily, a lot of what Advocates does already. One of the big things that we have recently started working on is a social change advocacy program, which is really getting into the community to stop the violence before it starts. So there's a couple initiatives that we've really been working on. One is getting more into the schools. We have been doing a piece in the health class at the Steamboat Springs High School for many, many years, but now we're getting very involved in Oak Creek and Hayden. It's very important to us that we're not just Steamboat-centric, but county-centric. So we have started presenting already in Oak Creek, and we are set to start presenting in Hayden, I think, next week. We are also now doing presentations on consent for every single student that's in sports in Steamboat Springs High School, as well as the drama club, and we're hoping to roll out something similar in Hayden and Oak Creek as well. We're also starting a new campaign called the Good Night Out campaign. We have gotten a group of citizens together, we call them the Drivers of Change, who have come up with this campaign. And the idea is that everybody has a right to a good night out. And one of the things we know is that not just within Rapp County, but across the nation, the number one way that sexual assault is happening is through either alcohol or drug facilitation. So whether or not it's voluntary or involuntary, like roofies, that is how people are taking advantage of somebody and committing sexual assault. So this group, the Drivers of Change, is creating kind of a package to bring to the different bars and restaurants across Rapp County that will be training for all staff. It will have information within the bathrooms, within the bar itself. There's going to be bystander training, information about reporting options, what to do if you think somebody's drink has been drugged. And then they're going to essentially, if they complete everything, get a designation of good night out. We have full buy-in from Hayden and Oak Creek. We're still working on North Route, and we are slowly getting to talk to all of the different restaurants and bars within Steamboat, which is obviously a much larger number, so it's just taking a little bit longer. But the owners of Old Town Pub and the owner of Barley are on board and actually helping us develop the whole thing. So very exciting and coming soon. We're hoping to roll it out actually this summer. So those are some of the new things that we're working on in dealing with sexual assault, and past that, we just really appreciate you doing the proclamation.
Is there a is that a shift in your mission to work on sexual assault, or has that always been a part of what advocates
does? It has always been a part.
Okay.
I think because of the Me Too movement, we are dealing with a lot more sexual assault survivors these days, where it used to be just a fraction of the people being dealt with, and I think that's why people did not understand that advocates was working with sexual assault as well. Now, I wouldn't say it's 50-50, but it's probably at least 25-75, and so it's becoming a big portion of what we do.
Got it. Well, thank you.
I really applaud you going into the schools.
Yeah.
That's where it needs to start.
And I will tell you, it has been such a positive response, and in fact, an overwhelming response from the schools. All three of them opened up their arms and said, please come in, which we were not expecting.
Yeah.
And they are asking us to get more involved even with younger kids. We don't have the staff capacity to do that yet, but we have applied for federal funds for a child youth advocate to hopefully start doing stuff within elementary schools and middle schools as well. So,
we have to address sexual assault in the elementary schools.
So it's not, well, unfortunately, yes, but it's a different program. So, you know, at the high school level, we are talking about unlawful sexual contact.
Right.
We're fairly blunt about it. When you're talking with kids, it's more talking about what is consent and not talking about the sexual component. So just more, you know, if somebody wants to hold your hand, but you don't want them to, is it okay to continue to grab their hand and make them do it anyways?
Okay.
And just starting the behaviors when they're young to create those kind of healthy behaviors when they get older.
Great.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yeah, so my question back to follow Commissioner Corrigan's question on the schools. Mm-hmm. Is that through the administration or is that through the school boards?
So I have honestly tried to get buy-in from every level of the schools. So I am talking to the counselors, to the teachers, to the administration, to school board members.
That's great.
I'm trying to do that on every level. So for Hayden and Oak Creek, I have talked with the superintendents as well as the teachers and the counselors. In Steamboat, I've talked with some school board members, the administration, the counselors, and the teachers. So to me, if administration tells you the school that they should do it, they may do it, but begrudgingly. If the teachers say this is a great program, we want to do it, but administration's not bought in, then it may be a non-starter. So we're just working with every level, and on every level we have had a really, really positive response.
That's great.
Have you had parent feedback on those programs?
So we haven't, but we're actually at the exact same time doing trainings or presentations for parents. So we just did one a month ago. It was only a half hour, and the parents thought it was so great, they've invited us back to do a two-hour one and open up to the rest of the public. The information we're giving to the parents is very similar, if not the same, as to the students, but we add the component of how to talk to your teen about it. So it's the same information about consent, healthy relationships, so that they can have the same conversation with the kids that we are. But then, like I said, there's a huge piece of, okay, talking about sex is uncomfortable, especially when it's your teen. So how do you do that to make sure that they're making good choices? And we focus a lot on how to make sure your child doesn't become accused of sexual assault, not just how do you not be a victim.
Thank you. Yeah, it's thanks. Great work.
Is it my turn?
No, it's mine.
Okay.
It's 009.
Yep, got it. So, Madam Chair, I move we approve resolution 2019-009, a resolution proclaiming April 2019 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month in Rock County. And the resolved, therefore be it resolved that the Board of County Commissioners of Rock County, Colorado, April 2019 is proclaimed as Sexual Assault Awareness Month in Rock County.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I can't remember if you sent me a copy or
I don't know. Who knows the answer to that?
Back on here.
Okay. So I am here to get your approval, if possible, to hire the new temporary accounting manager at step 5 of the accounting manager pay scale, with the opportunity to advance to step 6 upon completion of a successful 6-month performance evaluation. This is a request from Dan Sternad. The position has been budgeted. The 2019 salary has been estimated at $60,074. Ms. Cooper is the person we'll be hiring. She meets all the educational requirements to be hired at step 5 and advanced to step 6. She has a BA and over 25 years of relevant work experience, 20 more years than required. In addition, she has 7 years of government experience. The county manager has reviewed this request and recommended it be placed on the agenda for your consideration for approval.
Is that $60,000 for an entire year or just for the balance of this year?
The $60,000 is for the balance of the year.
So the annual compensation, is actually 89. Am I understanding these numbers correctly that Dan sent over?
So the 85?
I'm looking at this chart that he sent.
So 85 at the top. Where are you seeing 89?
This one right here where it says annual compensation.
Yes.
And
because there's 24 pay periods. So that's that he is including.
I think he's
including medical and everything. My number is only just including the salary for the remainder of the year. The 89 is for 12 pay periods at step 5, and
I don't think that's right. I think the 89 is the annual, and because then he divided it by 24 and then multiplied it by 12 to get the 44,710. So 89,420 is the actual annual compensation.
Not
is that right?
Not including benefits. Health insurance.
Oh, I'm sorry. It just said 12 pay periods.
No,
and
I
have 24. So
for the remainder, just for clarification, for the remainder of this year, the salary is $60,074, but the annual compensation is 89,420.
Annual salary.
Annual salary at step 5.
Annual salary at step 5 is 89.
Okay.
There you go. Yep.
Okay. Including.
That's the annual
salary.
Okay.
You ready?
Done. I'm ready.
Madam Chair, I would move to approve the hire of the new temporary accounting manager at step 5 of the pay scale, with the opportunity to advance to step 6 upon completion of a successful 6-month performance evaluation.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So this looks like I sign it, but I've never signed this before, have I?
Because it impacts her budget, because one of those positions she wants to have overtime calculated and approved at the same time.
So do we have a time and date that we're tabling till? Has it been scheduled?
Tuesday the 9th.
So what?
Tuesday the 9th.
Tuesday the 9th at noon.
It's cutting into your lunch.
This month.
I did not.
Yep.
At noon?
Next Tuesday at noon, the 9th.
At noon?
I didn't push for that. Let me just say.
Okay.
You're doing
that's
the tour.
Who approved that?
To the tour. Yes.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. All right. So.
Madam Chair, I move that we table the request to reclassify the Deputy Treasurer Administrative Assistant 3 position to a public trustee Deputy Treasurer / Administrative Assistant 4 till April 9th.
At noon?
Yeah, whatever. It'll surely change by then.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks.
I'll be by my phone in case you want me to come early or something.
Okay, Stephanie, you want to start us off? Or Kelly, I guess.
Whatever you guys are, whoever's...
Okay, well, thank you, Wendy Preschool, for joining us for the Month of the Young Child Proclamation. In Rapp County, we celebrate the whole month of April as Month of the Young Child in recognition of the importance of the early years of life and to our parents for all the great work that they do in raising you, and especially for our early childhood teachers and all of the invaluable work that they do. So thank you for coming here for our proclamation.
And I would like to thank Rapp County for your support for the Early Childhood Council and for First Impressions. This is almost 20 years that we've been doing the proclamation, and we've been doing the proclamation with Child Abuse Prevention Month since 2013.
Wonderful. We're looking at Month of the Young Child first, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for all of your work, and thank you guys for coming.
Welcome. Of course.
We're glad to see you.
So it's our kind of your meeting, so you know, you can ask them if they have something special to tell us.
I guess. Do you have anything you'd like to tell us?
We can sing a song for you.
We would love a song. Oh, here we have someone raising her hand. Yes.
Teacher Legislature.
Will you come
can
up
ever
here?
Get her on the microphone. Oh my God.
What would you like to tell us today?
I love people and I love. I love singing to my mom. And I know I need to be kind to my teachers and friends.
Thank you.
And what's your name?
Addison.
Addison.
Thank you, Addison.
Thank you,
Addison. Thank you. That was very brave.
Do we have anybody else who would like to make a comment? Oh, boy.
Tell them what we're learning.
Come on up.
Do you need me to run the clock? For?
It's not. We're
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
I don't think any of them are going to walk for 3 minutes anyway. Go ahead. Can you tell us your name?
Piper.
Piper. And what would you like to tell us today?
Learning.
What are you learning about?
Being kind.
Being kind.
Kindness, kindness.
That's great. Thank you.
Must be getting close to Easter.
I guess so.
You're calling
Nora.
You want to share something?
Yeah, come on up.
Well, she has it. What's happening tomorrow? You can tell
them what's happening tomorrow. Go quick.
Right there.
Will you tell us your name? Nora. Hi, Nora. What would you like to tell us today?
Mommy.
Is there something happening tomorrow that you'd like to tell us about?
I'm going to have a birthday. It's our birthday.
She's going to have a birthday.
It's your birthday?
Yeah.
How old will you be? 5?
It's almost my birthday.
Wow. That's very exciting. Well, happy birthday. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice job.
Thanks, Nora. We'd love to hear a song.
It's silly.
We'd love to hear a silly song.
Silly. Let's do silly.
Oh my God.
This is called Tony Chesney.
Yeah, let's get this on the record.
This is a commissioner's meeting.
Look at all these engaged citizens.
You guys, perfect. Turn. Face them. You guys ready?
Yeah. Tony Chesney knows I love you. Tony knows. Tony Chesney knows I love you. That's what Tony knows. Tony, and his sister Eileen. Well, Eileen loves Neil, and Neil loves Pat, and Pat still loves Bob. And there's Russell and Skip. This song is silly, but it's hip. How it ends, just one man knows. And guess what? It's Tony Chesney.
And that's it. Okay, guys. I think we're great.
We'll wait, Ant wants to go up.
Who does? Well, Addison, you already had a turn.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear the proclamation before you leave?
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. Okay.
Absolutely. It's up to you.
Okay.
No,
sure.
I think we should hear.
Sounds good. Who would like to? Whose turn is it?
Yeah. Why don't you hand that to me?
Yes.
Are we going to do two different motions?
Well, that's this one, and this is child abuse. So we'll let her talk about the child abuse prevention after this one.
Madam Chair, I would move to approve resolution number 2019-010, a resolution proclaiming April 2019 as the Month of the Young Child in Rauch County, Colorado.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all very much.
Yay.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Pretty well behaved children.
Oh, thank you.
They have so many girls. When we went over there and visited, I was like, these kids are girls.
It's funny how it fluctuates like that.
It does.
Yeah.
Now you guys do it harder.
And really, child welfare should be at the table.
Yes,
for
come on up.
Yeah.
Prevention Month proclamation.
Yeah, pull some chairs around. We've got extra chairs.
Come on up.
And we have our ribbons.
Oh, thank
for
you.
Child Abuse Prevention Month. I think Liesl said that teal is for Sexual Assault Awareness Month, too. So maybe it can be a dual.
There you go. Because we do have the teal and
exactly.
The royal. So Mike would tell the story about how the ribbon became a symbol for Child Abuse Prevention Month in 1989 when a grandmother in Virginia put a blue ribbon on her car antenna in honor of her grandson that she lost to child abuse. So this has been in place for many years. And we have our child welfare, part of our child welfare team here.
I don't think
today.
I've met any of you, so I...
Hi.
Sorry.
Sorry.
But when you Zephyr Shed,
nice
I'm
to
a
meet
caseworker.
You.
Lauren Rising, caseworker.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Mick Hale, and I represent the Department of Human Services.
Hi. Nice to meet you. Thank you all for coming. What do we do to prevent child abuse? Aware of child abuse.
Well, we have differential response is a new practice that child welfare has been implementing for a year, Neil.
No, for past
just started right?
2 months.
Okay,
that was
September
1st.
Yeah, it was a little process to get there.
And how is that going?
too soon to tell. I think it's been a long time coming. A lot of the states kind of moved towards this model, and we're kind of in the latter stages of picking it up, but definitely a good model of partnering the family rather than coming in and investigating them and labeling them as perpetrators or whatnot. It's more of working with the family to
give them a chance to acknowledge what they need help with and let us help them with that.
Yep. And Kelly's told us a little bit about the work that you all have been doing on that, and that you've had a few cases that you've been able to utilize that system, which is great. Mm-hmm. When I went to new commissioner training, I think it was Jefferson County that was really touting mm-hmm. their differential response and talking about the value of it that they've seen. So it's great, I think, that we're adopting that.
So in a perfect world, we wouldn't need you guys.
Right.
But we don't live in a perfect world, and I can't imagine more difficult work than what you guys do, so thank you very much.
You know, we know, and no matter what kind of animal species, including us, there's good mothers and fathers, and there's not so good mothers and fathers. So, you know, so again, that's why the community comes to Rise, to be an asset and assistance to all the families who need help. So, sure.
Yeah, thank you very much for the work that you all do.
Madam Chair, I move to approve Resolution 011, a resolution recognizing April 2019 as Child Abuse Prevention Month in Rock County, Colorado. There are now therefore be resolved by the Rock County Board of County Commissioners that the month of April 2019 is hereby declared Child Abuse Prevention Month in Rock County, Colorado. We urge all citizens to engage in activities that strengthen families in our community to provide the optimal environment for children to learn, grow, and thrive so that all children have the benefit to happy, healthy, and safe childhoods.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
We have a silly song to sing you
guys. I didn't hear what she said. What?
She said they have a silly song.
Oh. Is that right? Okay.
Do you do the... if you all want to just introduce yourselves for the record, and then we can... you want to just go through these one by one, I assume, would be the best way to...
Sure.
Yeah, sounds good.
Gary Suter, City Manager, Steamboat Springs.
Mike Burskin, Civil Engineer with the City of Steamboat Springs.
And Ben Bell, City Engineer for Steamboat Springs.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. we have your letter. We've reviewed the request there, so we can just kind of talk through each of those. So the first, I guess, is the Butcher Knife floodplain improvement and the Oak Street sidewalks.
Yeah, and so, you know, anytime you're coming to request something, thanks, Tom, for facilitating the communication. And, you know, it's always interesting when you're asking for something for the public, and whether or not, and we're here really to hear feedback and hopefully get some traction on some projects. So the Butcher Knife Floodplain Improvements project, which Mike is the project manager on, we are hoping to get that out to bid here in the next month. What it will do is it will replace some drainage infrastructure and put sidewalks along Oak Street and 7th Street to reduce the floodplain and then get people out from walking on the street. That's the main intent of the project. Did include in the packet a sheet that shows just a high-level picture of what the improvements are on the northern side of Lincoln Avenue, which is directly adjacent to a parcel owned by Rouse County. I think early on, and as I had mentioned in the letter, I had come to the commissioners to give a brief update of what the downtown improvement plan is. Now we're in year 4 of that plan realization. This is one of the this is probably the last big project in addition to the 13th Street sidewalk. So I had spoken with Tim Winter. He was, I think, your facilities plant manager for a long time. And he was, at that point when we were looking at the concept, really concerned with the future development, potential use of that parcel. So he had expressed support for the sidewalk, but he didn't want there to be any sort of encumbrance to that property that would not allow you guys to build whatever sort of building or use of that parcel. So with that in mind, I think we have a design in place that does include some grading that would come onto the property but would be revegetated. There is a small wall in order to save the large spruce tree that's on the parcel. The project does involve removal of, I think there's a cottonwood tree on there, and I brought some pictures because they're worth a bit more. I didn't include those in the packet. But that's
the X's indicate what's being removed.
If you want it to be
okay.
That.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would the temporary easement facilitates the construction of the sidewalk, and then also the installation of that culvert under Oak Street. So that's the ask. I don't know if there's any other questions that you guys would have. I did include a copy of a temporary construction easement in the packet. I don't know if the county attorney's had a chance to.
The county attorney has looked at it. He was okay with it.
Okay.
So we're ready to go.
So for disclosure's sake, I own the property across the street. My wife and I do, so I just
want to
make sure that's aware.
Thank you.
So that looking at the colored lines, and so I've always been curious about that. That green line literally goes underneath the convenience store there.
Mm-hmm.
How long has that been there?
I don't know if we know as long as this building's been there.
It's interesting because there's varying culverts. You know, there's a masonry culvert that's underneath Lincoln Avenue.
Yeah.
And then there's extension of different kinds of culverts. And then there's extension of metal culverts on each end. So obviously there's been development over time. And, you know, just put it under a pipe and build a building on top of it. And
seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
Well, and then on top all those pipes were replaced during the highway reconstruction, were they not?
So in that map, the blue section, if you have it in color, is what's underground, and the city contributed to that CDOT project to get that underground at that point in time, so we don't have to tear up.
Oh, okay, because that was the drainage. That was a drainage easement, a drainage culvert.
Correct.
Surface drainage.
Yep. The green.
Then I think we ended up helping on that part of it too, and we were end up doing our work on the remodel and the things too, if I remember right.
The county
We helped you guys
on that reconstruction.
Yes. Or gave you some money earlier when we were.
And then we may have turned around and given it all to CDOT.
Right. Exactly. I think that was part of the deal when we were resurfacing the parking lot back here and all the things that we did back in the back end of the parking lot.
So on this item specifically, the request is really just for the construction easement. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And then
that's the ask, yes.
Okay. And the floodplain improvement is just tied into that in addition to the sidewalk?
Yes.
Okay. Those are one project.
In order to build the project, we need to encroach on the county parcel in a temporary manner, and then we'll restore it to a liker or better condition.
I'm really relieved to see it doesn't appear that it's going to impede any future construction effort that we might have.
That was the intent. There is a small 1 to 2 foot wall on there that isn't currently there, but that like we said, that was intent.
So where's that wall at?
So if you look at the tree that we're getting rid of there, the cottonwood, the nice spruce tree adjacent to it, by the time we do the widening for the sidewalk and then the slope to come down kind of comes into the property, we build it just a 1 or 2 foot tall, we're designing 1 or 2 foot tall boulder wall just to kind of cut off that slope to kind of leave this tree intact.
So on the far side of the tree or the cliff side?
On the right-of-way side.
Okay, just right-of-way side.
And then the existing creek itself, once you get beyond that, I mean, are you going to be doing some minimal grading down to it or around it?
For the creek through here?
Yeah.
Except for the outlet of this culvert, inlet of this culvert, we're not touching this okay. channel at all. And this is a little bit of a wall that, so if you see the street here and the sidewalk, and that's that spruce we're saving, there's just a little, mm-hmm. little boulder wall there just to kind of catch the grade to make a little bit of a pocket to save that tree.
And nice place for people to sit.
Okay. I assume that spruce tree is important to the county?
Yeah, we would like to probably save it. Yeah. You know, and the other thing, when we started off on the cliff, I'd asked Tim Winter, so why aren't we saving the spruce trees out there at the jail and the sheriff's office? Oh, don't worry about it. So I don't know where they went. They got trashed.
So we're not going to trash this
one. Let's not do that.
Let's keep this one.
Save some trees.
Well, and they would have been nicely replanted somewhere else. I mean, they were really nice, pretty nice trees.
I bet they're out at Bald Eagle Lake right now.
Oh, is that right? Oh, yeah. Okay. As mulch?
No.
It's trees. Think they
yeah. It does that on his projects.
So oh, well, good. I'm all right with that, too. I just
list their lives
a shame to trash them. I just,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm still fascinated that existing culvert underneath the convenience store has actually functioned all these years without trouble.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Oh, no, that's amazing. Because I've walked by there a number of times and go, well, how would you fix that if it, mm-hmm. you'd have to tear the building down?
Yeah, we buy the project and demo the building. Make a park.
Probably not. They could sleeve it, too.
Yeah.
Except that it would be just getting smaller.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't meet the 100. And this meets 100-year floodplain requirement.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the intent when the project is done is to remap this section of the floodplain to hopefully remove some of these properties from the floodplain. Floodplain improvements are tough because you really need to do improvements upstream in order to realize benefits because the creek may kick out far away from where you're actually doing the improvement. This is really the most expensive and keystone project to the improvements along Butcher Knife. So we're doing another one on Spruce Street in conjunction with a water main project this coming summer. We've even done some other improvements over the years, so hopefully we'll realize some improvements. Because anytime you change a floodplain, you have the potential to put new properties into the floodplain, and then that requires them to sometimes get floodplain insurance. Sure. So whenever you're modifying a floodplain, it's best to try to reduce that floodplain as opposed to just modify the main. Because then you hopefully avoid the political backlash.
You guys have an engineer's estimate for this project? I'm just out of curiosity.
Well, this project includes public restrooms down by the Ghost Ranch, mm-hmm. the old bookstore. And so with the sidewalk and the drainage improvements are about $2.5 million right now.
Okay.
That'll be nice to have those public restrooms.
Yeah.
And Mike did find out just yesterday that we did receive the DOLA grant for $800,000 for this project.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wow. That's so wonderful.
It's pretty
exciting. Kathy, did she go down there?
We actually didn't have to go.
It was the snowball.
It was that's right.
So we bomb cyclone.
Picked up a
that's
form.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing that I noted in your letter was just I'm assuming that we're just making the assumption that the city is building this sidewalk with the cost share.
No.
No.
We are not just making that assumption.
Correct.
Okay.
Could make that assumption. There, so as part of these projects, and thanks for bringing that up, is the overall downtown improvement plan funding includes assessments of the private property owners.
Right.
Adjacent to in a 75-25 split right. for the sidewalk construction,
yes.
which doesn't include trees and drainage improvements.
Or ourselves.
Or you could do it yourselves. And
to their space.
That, I'm sorry, yes. That was what I meant, that the assumption was that we were going with the city, the proposal that you mentioned here, that the city builds the sidewalk with the cost share.
And we would be providing notice
okay.
in the next few months as we're moving through bidding processes with an estimate of what that would cost the county. For that contribution
okay.
As an assessment. The assessment roll goes through three hearings at City Council, and that wouldn't become, that those invoices wouldn't go out until next year. So you'd have time to see that estimate, perhaps budget for that expense.
So now
get that invoice next year.
When we built the sidewalk here on the other side, on along Fifth Street, well, and along Oak Street as well. We did not build the corners to your exact specifications.
I had talked to Tim about that. There were, and it was done what was done.
But we also built the sidewalk over here next to V&A too. So we already built the sidewalk.
And for sidewalk that's already existing, you won't be assessed any additional dollars.
So we're building the sidewalk from the V&A building in front of the cabin right there over to the church.
So the question would be, are we going to build it with the corner? How would you describe the construction of the corner?
Well, the corner's already there.
We already built the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's a non-issue.
That's not changing, right?
We have included it in the bid documents to change that
corner.
Now, we're constantly assessing where we are with budget, and so that, because it already exists, it is
so
compliant.
So you would just replace the corner and not the rest of the sidewalk that we built?
I think it just includes the curb and then some trim planting.
Yeah.
And really, the only thing that we did not do was include that color stamped concrete section, correct? We did everything else. It's got the slopes.
And, you know, I mean, Tim went back to his city days where we used to have a vertical curb right up against the asphalt.
So yeah.
He didn't pull the gutter pan out, but.
Okay.
It's
good. It's done.
It's good.
Okay, so.
Ideally, this time we would do it more closer to your expectations.
Well, if they're going to do it, they're definitely going to do it.
Right. Because we self-perform. Well, I mean, we hired the leads.
And those were in place. And actually, if you know, you guys had sidewalk before. I think it was a maintenance project that was tied into the resurfacing of your parking lot.
So this, okay.
Yeah.
So going forward, the city will be completing this project, giving us an estimate of the cost once that's known, and then the county pays 25%.
I think
it's 75% of the sidewalk cost.
So we pay 75%. Got it. Sorry.
And also, I think the way I read
it. I liked it better when we paid.
And I think the way I read that, they'll let us know what it costs when they're done with it.
No, it says a notice to construction along with a good faith estimate of what the county can be expected.
Then you can decide whether you want to do it on your own, self-perform, or have us do it.
So is that separate from this butcher knife? I guess I'm not totally clear on the relationship between that and the butcher knife floodplain improvement.
They didn't do the sidewalk already because they had to replace the culvert.
Okay.
So no use replacing the culvert. I mean, replacing the sidewalk and then tearing it back out again. So that's kind of.
So will this all be one project, or this will be two projects?
It'll be one project.
Okay.
The timing of when it all comes together will be determined when we have a contractor on board and can evaluate when things happen.
And my guess is, in this particular case, we're probably better off going with their contractor.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
and you'll have a chance to evaluate that. We'll send a separate notice, just like we will to the other adjacent property owners.
Okay.
Just remember that what they'll be sending us is a good faith estimate.
We do
differs from an actual.
By the ordinance.
Not a quote.
Exactly.
We cap it at 130%, so it won't go over 130%
of
the estimate. I can say that we've been pretty spot on with our estimates. To date, and I think we've
built a lot of sidewalks
44
on this stretch.
Properties sent out to so far. So
okay.
So my question is: it going to be then sidewalk across the butcher knife? Is that going to be at the height of the bottom of the culvert, or is it's not going to go down or back up or something? The sidewalk.
No, it'll stay high by the curb.
It'll sort of stay at side at the road level, and that's the level over the road, 6 inches above the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then so is there going to be a bump up there for, because then it's going to be a drop off. There's going to be an embankment there. Is there going to be some type of guardrail or something on there?
So we have a concrete head wall and concrete wing walls that will kind of take the water from the culvert out into the channel.
Right.
And there will be a railing along the head wall.
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah.
So you're answering that.
And so you know, if you know the one we just did on Village Drive, by where La Montana used to be.
Okay.
On Village, it's Village Drive. Mm-hmm. And if you look on the high side of that culvert, we have a railing that is kind of what we're looking at right now.
Okay. So there will be something there that you'll know it's
not just...
To protect from the drop-off.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, for sidewalkers.
Yep.
Yep.
Does that... Will this complete the, all the sidewalk on Oak Street?
Yes. There's some spots down kind of by 10th and 11th on the north side that are not a, they're not a part of the scope of the downtown
improvement. Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a missing piece, no doubt about it. Yeah.
When you try to walk down the street, you're out in the street. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Do we need to approve the temporary construction easement agreement today or not yet?
Do we have an agenda?
It's not on your agenda to approve that today. Yeah.
Okay, so we need to put it on the agenda.
We can put it back on your agenda so we'll get the final one from city staff. County attorney's already looked at it. So
Do you want us to resend this?
We already have it.
We already have it still.
Okay, do you...
So you don't need anything from Ben?
I don't think we need anything new from him.
Okay.
As long as that easement that you've already provided isn't changing, then...
It's good to go. Yeah, if you guys don't have any changes, then that we need to run
by. So who's going to facilitate the agenda item?
I will do that.
You will, okay, just so we have somebody...
Making sure that happens. Great.
Okay.
And this doesn't change any parking on 7th Street? Or does it?
You know, from the... Christian Science Church
yeah.
to the space station. They park diagonal now. They're going to continue to park diagonal.
Okay.
So we have a
similar... Are you talking about 7th or are you talking
seventh.
About Oak Street?
I'm talking about 7th.
Okay.
And actually, does it affect parking on Oak Street? Not really. There's just a
parking. It's all parallel.
Parallel.
That's all
are
parallel.
You putting in sidewalk between space station and
yep.
Oak Street? Yeah. At the same time as this?
Mm-hmm. So a wrap around the Christian yep. Science Society.
That'll be good, too.
That's great.
Yeah, it looks like a great project. Like I said before, it doesn't look like it's going to land on the bill to any future construction projects.
And to that point, so there is a water body setback of 50 feet in the city regulations for building over on that front?
Yes.
Okay.
But that doesn't change with this project?
It doesn't change with this project.
Okay.
Because you're not doing anything in that channel, so it's not going to change.
Nope, you're leaving it just the way it is.
That sounds great. Derek, do you have any questions about that that you'd like to ask?
No, I'm going to be working for the next thing.
Okay, sounds good. Do you all know Derek?
I do.
I'm with the newspaper.
Oh. Hi, Derek. How are you?
Hi, Derek.
Sounds great. Well, let's move to the next item then. Talk about the...
So this one is a fun one in that it's always fun to come and ask for, you know, financial participation, whether it's maintenance or contribution. We included in... let me back up a little bit. We've been working on trying to improve pedestrian connectivity along US 40 for the past few years. Mike's working on design right now for a transportation alternatives project or program grant that the city got from CDOT for a section of sidewalk from the community center over to Belt Cook Chevrolet, and then on the north side between Indian Trails and Conestoga. So we had partnership with the county, we had put some sidewalk in from Shield Drive down to Riverside Plaza. I think you guys contributed about $21,000, which was an original development requirement of the jail when it first went in. And then we worked with CalCon to figure out how CDOT and CalCon could partner in
jail
and time.
Clef, you mean.
It was originally the jail. There was a participation obligation. But then we went and got a grant, so it reduced all of our overall costs for that sidewalk construction. So now we have pedestrian connectivity all the way out to Snowball Plaza, and so the natural next phase would be, can we get out to Steamboat 2 and Silver Spur? And I know that's been a community priority, not only in the city, but from those residential subdivisions for a while. An opportunity came up with Great Outdoors Colorado Connect Initiative. This is the last of three grant request opportunities for these kind of high dollar opportunities to connect centers, nodes, hubs. And so we want to try to jump on board with this opportunity with the potential that they will give a maximum of $2 million toward extensions or connections of trails. We also believe we can couple this grant with a round of transportation alternatives program grant that will come out this April. So we're trying to cobble together partnerships because grant requests that have those partnerships in place are always more attractive to the granting committees. So here we are asking for a participation. I do want to point out, and I didn't include in the packet, but we're not asking for dollars today. We're not looking to walk out of here with a check of any sort. We're trying to
seem smart.
Yeah, this is the initial request, which is always the what are you talking? You know, what are you coming to us here to ask us for money? Yes, we are asking for money, but it's not for a check today. We're not bulldozers. We're not moving tomorrow. To provide some context, the city's six-year CIP program shows some dollars expended on the city side starting in 2021. Now, with the timeline for the GoCo Connect initiative, it needs to be spent within 3 years. We're still working to figure out if that needs to be encumbered or spent within 3 years. So we'd be looking at, from the actual grant potential award in September of this year, would need to be built by or encumbered by 2022. So the bulk of the expenditure would actually be in 2022, which would be the targeted construction year. So we're going to private property owners, going to HOAs. We want to try to put together a good funding match partnership to be able to go to CDOT and go to GoCo and say, hey, here are the committed entities. A few of the obligations of the grant is we need to be able to show that there's easements in place so that those whatever GoCo is spending their grant dollars on, it will be permanently in place. And it doesn't necessarily need to be permanently in that specific location. It can be really relocatable, but it needs to still maintain that connectivity if, say, a development came in and wanted to relocate that trail. The other, it requires maintenance to be provided. And then, of course, we need to come up with, for GoCo, a 25% match minimum. And then there's a 20% match minimum on the Transportation Alternatives Program. So we can couple Transportation Alternatives Program and GoCo as match. So the idea there will be trying to write a grant in a format that shows that GoCo dollars are being leveraged to, 40%, and that Transportation Alternatives Program is being leveraged to maybe 60 to 70% to increase the likelihood that we might get that award. I did bring, these are hot off the press. We're kind of moving quick on this because I know it seems like a month is a long time, but when you're trying to put together these kinds of concepts that are $3.5 million.
So how much did you say the total cost? $3.5 million?
$3.5 million.
You think the whole thing is?
And I got a couple extra of these. These just came out yesterday. Here's one more sheet that shows the underpass location. The overall scope would start at Snow Bowl. Thank you. One more. Would start at Snow Bowl, and it would go along what I don't know if you guys refer to it as Blades property. It's now owned by Charlie Williams. And that may be in the right-of-way or the property if we can work with him. Then it goes through the city's open space Fournier parcel. There's a concert.
This is the proposed area.
Proposed, yes.
And that's the red?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
And the red is a hard surface concrete trail built to primary core trail standards, so 10 feet wide. And then would go under an underpass from here, the KOA Sleepy Bear property line. And then from the north side of US 40, where it shows in yellow on that map, would be an 8-foot wide soft surface trail. You guys, if you recall, your last road and bridge director, Janet Ruby, had worked really hard on getting some fairly rudimentary connectivity through there, but along a existing roadway alignment, you guys did some work on that and in partnership with Rock County Riders. There's a license, I think, agreement, and I included that in the packet where you guys had committed to maintaining that trail surface. I don't know what exactly the condition of that trail surface is in now, but you know, it's one of those things where
probably
now
snowy.
Well, and so, and I think they groom that, don't they, from the Steamboat so. To
I have no
HOA.
Idea.
They would not be us,
right? Yeah. Right. Okay. But it does allow. It looks like in that. In that
grooming?
License agreement, it looks like it allows
just snow grooming.
No, not snow grooming.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Okay.
So isn't we don't have permanent
that's
easements.
That's what he's saying. It's been snow groomed. Yeah.
So that's
we only have temporary.
That's
easements.
Part of the, you guys are a piece of all of the people that we're talking to. The other folks that we're talking to is Steamboat 700 and West Steamboat Neighborhoods for you know. Going through their parcel and getting easements and perhaps funding partnership from both or one of them.
Towards paying for the
towards
easements?
Paying for part of the construction as well.
But you assume that there'll be a cost for the permanent easement itself?
Well, I don't know. West Steamboat Neighborhoods has expressed a lot of desire to see this happen, of course, understandably. So the task here is really to show that we're connecting existing residential neighborhoods, not facilitating new development. So that's part of what we're trying to put together with the HOAs and districts.
Also got a major sewer line right in there too, right?
There's a water main, and the existing alignment of that current trail follows roughly the existing water main.
But we also brought a big sewer line across the highway right there.
Yep. And I think it's shown. So some of these on this underpass design, those are the sleeve for the water main and the sewer that's currently under US 40. The city redid the sewer line in KOA. It's probably been 8 years now.
Yep.
And we did put a sleeve in there for looping a future water main, which West Steamboat Neighborhoods is on the hook to do with their development if it goes in.
So the trails that we currently maintain, where are they on this map?
This map here, it's this.
Or they're not on this map.
The current trail.
It's
the yellow.
It's
okay.
The yellow, but then connects over to Gosser Parkway here.
Right.
It goes through there. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the trick will be.
Oh, and this is the proposed West Steamboat.
Correct.
Yeah.
Got it. Now I see.
Okay. And Overlook subdivision.
And this is the highway to nowhere right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Off of Downhill Drive.
Yep. Okay. Now I understand. And so there's no proposed change to this. Except where the connectivity is. So this part is the change, and this is where it currently is?
There may be. So we're looking at ADA guidelines to be able to provide a trail surface.
When
that
they say
ADA
soft surface, I think they're talking about something beyond gravel.
The gravel. No, it
would be gravel. Gravel, but it would be wide and smooth.
8 foot wide, built so that you could go and put concrete on top of it.
And so you've created an engineer's estimate for the cost of that?
We are in the process of doing that. Yeah.
So there are some proposed improvements to the existing trail.
Yes.
Okay.
And perhaps
you can get the permanent easement.
So you have to remember that
and perhaps change
the trail we spent 5 days out there with the dozer. That's it. And it's already a road. That used to be a road.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. So
and
potentially.
The devil will definitely be in the details. If one, this is a two-phase grant request with GOCO, is when we submit a concept paper in 2 days. And then if we are invited to submit a final grant application in August, that would be when we need to have our pencils a bit sharper at that point.
And numbers then.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we always struggle with this on the city side where we don't have dollars necessarily appropriated to match a grant request right now. But we have it in our six-year plan. So we kind of make that leap where we present that we do have match dollars that will be available at some point in time. So, you know, to what extent we can say that we have funding partners in place at some future date, it's that chicken or egg kind of a situation where perhaps you don't have the dollars appropriated at this point in time, but then you get into that moral obligation of, all right, we were awarded a grant. Are we going to turn that grant back because of whatever, we don't have the funds at that point in time when we hit that date? And you know, that's a balance. That's a difficult.
Some of the risk.
Yeah.
And so cutting to the chase, what we're asking for from the county commissioners is when we submit this concept paper on Thursday, can we put in there that the county commissioners, that Route County is committed to this project without mentioning funding, without mentioning specific funding dollars, but just basically say you're a committed partner to this project. And it's kind of an up or down question.
So, I mean, that's a nice way to put it, Gary, yeah. But being a committed partner means we're committing to something.
To something. We'd have to work that out and sharpen our pencils.
Commit to the concept right now, eh?
I think the level of partnership is, are you willing to write a letter of support for the project? That's one, you know.
Right.
And then there's also, we're willing to write a letter of support, including some contribution amount. And that may be an ask too far at this point in time. I don't know.
So the thought that I have is that presuming that we want to contribute to this project, that it might make more sense for the county to be committing manpower and equipment towards some of the construction work on that segment of the soft drill. So, no, you don't like that idea?
I don't like that idea, no.
You just don't pay for it?
And again, we don't know what's going to happen and the rest. How are we going to quantify all that, too? You know, and we're already project up, you know. It's like when we built the airport. We robbed everything else and no roads got done for 2 years when we built the airport.
Yeah, but we're not building an airport.
I understand that, but I mean, we still have our men pretty well occupied during the time frame that we have.
But, I mean, we were also able to tear some people away a couple of years ago after going
to
the parking
lots. So we can add that in as a potential in-kind contribution as well. I mean, so that, you know, I think that would help.
I suppose right, either way, it costs us.
Yeah, in my mind. I guess I just had a couple questions. And so I realized the alignment from where we were at versus taking off from, you know, the downhill drive and following the downhill drive and the rest. Wanted to be able to use the Fournier property and have a riverfront thing as well. Have you guys discussed the potential? I mean, we're still having these conversations on 2A monies as well. Is there some opportunity for some of that money to be used out on this, or leased out here for that major part of the red part?
I think that's a question really for City Council.
City Council?
I
don't need to put you on the spot.
I can give you a read on that, Doug. The last discussion we had at council level, council indicated there were a line of people lining up for the 2A surplus funds,
sure.
And they basically said, forget about it for now. They prefer to use their own discretion as the City Council as a part of the budget process, and they did indicate some preferences to spend those monies on things such as Core Trail and Howelson Hill Lift and our own amenities within our own city.
But my comment is that still kind of fits in there, or at least the red part.
Yes.
It's an extension of the Core Trail.
So right now in our six-year CIP, which projects forward what we would expect to have in our capital improvements plan budgets, has this project with this grant match above the cut line right now. So it's in that six-year plan if nothing were to change. We know things are going to change in the next 6 years. But right now that's above that cut line. So, the grant dollars, we can submit this grant without any other funding partners. It's really just what is that partnership group that we can provide to the granting agencies to show, hey, there's a commitment. Now, $200,000 may be too much. I don't know. I mean, but any amount of commitment may show that there's that that there's that partnership. Now, a commitment from the county to maintain the soft surface trail is a funding partnership. I mean, that is definitely, that's something that we definitely need to address with this proposal. The sidewalks along City Street by city code are maintained by the adjacent property owner. Now, when we deviate from the roadway, that's when it starts to become problematic. Your current agreements, you have committed to that maintenance. I'm guessing that the Mark Fines and West Nemo neighborhoods, in their current, if they do or don't become annexed into the city, are going to want to they're probably not going to want to commit to the maintenance. So if Route County were to commit to maintaining the trail that's within the Route County jurisdiction, that is a partnership that is also very valuable and can show to the granting agencies that the county is committed to that.
And so what's different about that than what we're already doing? I apologize that I don't know the whole history.
It's just on a different alignment, okay. And it would be a different, it would be built a little bit, let's say, to a different standard than the 5 days that your crews went out and cleared some stuff and put it along the
road. And I would think it would be a more regular commitment to maintenance other than the one time a year that we've kind of, is that what we're doing? Going up once a year and running a grader over it?
It's like we do a lot of our county roads.
Yeah. I'd imagine that.
There's no obligation.
It'll require more maintenance than that.
And built correctly, with drainage improvements, culverts, those sorts of things, the hope is that it doesn't turn into a bog every spring. Of course, there's going to be drainage and those kinds of things, but this would be built to a secondary trail standard, which would be elevated and not in the middle of a drainage area.
So my only question, the underpass, that thing is, ever since the highways got put in there, that hill coming off and then filling up with, and CDOT works on that thing every 5 years. And just a week ago, it was full of water again.
Yep.
They don't have any drainage. I can't believe when they didn't do the resurfacing of Highway 40, they didn't put some type of a drain to get it off of the stuff that comes off the hill, down into a drain, and then run over to the creek. Instead, they sit there and then it freezes up right there in the edge. I mean, my farmer irrigating mentality could get it past there and get it to the creek. I just can't understand why. And so my question is back to an underpass in a place that's already pretty floating a lot of the time. That's going to be, after you get past where just right at Sleepy Bear, that whole drop-off there from the natural elevation of the creek is so much better and can carry water there. I'm struggling with how you're going to keep an underpass there. And then we'll go back to the surface of the how are we going to convince GOCO and the rest on the all-weather stuff, and how are we going to deal with that? Or is it just going to be skiing path during the winter?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And that's going to be acceptable to them? And so anyhow, if you could address, so we'll see.
Yeah.
It's a concept paper.
Yep.
Yeah. And, so back to the underpass. So what do you think about that? You've seen the water.
Interesting that CDOT did put in a drain and a pipe in that exact location where the lake is.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. I'm with you, though. It's I don't know why it's not working.
But
I don't know if it's
right
it might need you
42.
And your muck boots and a
they
spade.
They did a whole bunch of work out there on 42. They spent 3 weeks out there on 42 to get a drain out of that little spot to get it over to the other creek.
I know that there will be design challenges with any sort of project of this magnitude, and it'll be up to a consultant that we would go through a process to hire to come up with solutions to those. There is Slate Creek does come through there. I know from past drainage study evaluations in Steamboat 700, and we'll see it again, is that that's undersized. The current culvert right there going in between Sleepy Bear and KOA. Those are design challenges we'll have to figure out. And there may or may not be a partnership there with a potential developer that between when we submit this concept paper and when the grant is due, we should have resolution on where that annexation stands. And that'll be a big kind of moving target between concept paper and when the grant request needs to be submitted.
Sure.
And a potential funding partner will probably either be there or not be there.
Is the school district part of this conversation in terms of funding partnership?
We have not approached the school district.
Presumably, kids would be able to use this trail to access one of these future school sites.
Absolutely. That is part of our grant request. We haven't gone to the school district specifically.
How much of a deal, if the easements can't be secured, does that blow up this whole concept?
Yes.
Even the red part?
Well, no. The red part would still be feasible. However, I think that the compelling nature of the grant isn't there. I mean, you've got 350 homes in Silver Spur and Steamboat 2 that would be served by this. I mean, that is the compelling nature of this grant. When you have, you know, kids who you're coaching soccer and they say, I can't ride my bike to downtown. You know, they can, but hopefully their parents aren't letting them. So
I've got a couple of quick comments. Number one, timing is everything, you know, in these things. And it would be easier for me to make to talk about how I might be willing to support this project if we had our capital improvement plan completed, which we don't. But we're still a little ways away from that.
Whatever it is, this is an ad.
Pardon?
Whatever it is, this would be an ad. Yeah.
Exactly. But that's not your fault. That, you know, that.
And nor, I mean, we're coming out of the blue here. We recognize that, and we're trying to find partners.
Having said that, you know, conceptually, like I said before, I mean, this would be a wonderful thing for our residents that live out in Steamboat 2 and Silver Spur. So I don't know that $200,000 is the right number or what that number is, but I can see myself supporting some level of financial commitment to this.
I think that if what you need is some indication that the county would be a partner in some capacity, and you need that for your letter on Thursday, my opinion is I don't see any reason we couldn't say that, knowing that we need to have some conversation about what that actually means and how, if there is a financial commitment, where that money comes from. I mean, that's a conversation that we have to have, because this is not in our CIP at this point. Our CIP doesn't fully exist yet at this point.
Right.
So
means you should have a lot of money.
That's not exactly how it works.
Just checking. I'm just teasing.
Yeah. But if the idea is that you need some conceptual idea that the county is willing to be a partner, I agree. I see a huge benefit in this, and I think it's a great opportunity to partner with the city. What are your thoughts?
I was supportive of this 10 years ago, so it was supportive of getting the alternate temporary trail in here. We're going to have some concerns with the rifle club. We got hammered the last time we got the easement and whatever. Hopefully they can control their guns better than shooting over the top of the hill and hitting somebody riding them. And I'm actually supportive of it. I was the one that came up and said, well, if we're going to, and again, these are kind of like our responsibilities here out there in Silver Spur and Steamboat 2, you know, they were built out there and we're moving into an alternative transportation mode and the rest, trying to get people out of their car and trying to get healthy and other than me and more exercise.
You're not going to be riding your bike.
No, I'm probably not. Unless I get one of Corrigan's electric bikes that he got.
He's been touting electric bikes to us.
His electric bikes.
I bought one. I thought it was pretty cool.
Gary's wife has one. She loves it.
She bought one last summer. Yeah, it's really
cool. I would support, and then I think we ought to send a letter in, and we'd be a financial supporter as well as an in-kind supporter, I think.
Yeah.
There's opportunities for us to do some in-kind.
Yeah, I think if we're gonna say we're supportive of this, we're gonna be a partner. We're tacitly admitting that we're committing some future dollars. We just don't know what those dollars are.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of lip service to say.
Well, you know, I'll tell you that it's no different than what we did in 2006 and 2005 when we committed $200,000 to the Road to Nowhere, and we partnered to get that Road to Nowhere in there. Which is somewhere now. It's going to be going somewhere, we hope. Some point in time, the West Steamboat plan is going to be taking that road to somewhere, and then also committing, you know, so, you know, it might end up being, you know, $100,000 or $50,000 a year for 2 years or whatever. And I think the money, you know, we just have to figure out our priorities. And again, I'm sympathetic to your concept, since we never had a CIP, and I don't know that it's still not going to change what our ideas might be after, even after we get the CIP. This is a long-standing responsibility, I think. And I actually, I'll just say it, I really appreciate the city taking the lead on this, you know, and throwing that out there, because, I mean, you know, the past city council president, McGill, was, and this was always a championing idea to get people in so we could provide some alternative transportation to this part of town. And we know it's not going anywhere. I mean, we still know that there's going to be growth there. We just don't know when and how. So, but I think it's good, you know, or how much, yes. So it's.
Yeah, I think the county's always been reluctant to build and work on recreational amenities, but I guess I don't see this as a recreational amenity. This is a transit item.
It's a part of the mobility
system. People will be recreating on it, and that's fine. We don't have a problem with that.
But it's an activity. So I think what you're hearing, if I can just summarize, is that you can definitely indicate us as a partner in this letter that's due on Thursday.
Great.
And that
so,
we...
So we need to direct staff, these two guys, to write
do
us
you
a
need
letter.
Do you need a letter of support
it
from us?
It would be great.
Okay.
And
on our own letter.
Work with Helen.
I apologize for the short...
Get that to happen.
I do want to state
that I appreciate the commissioner's support of this, given the tight timelines, and also given a lot of the wild cards and unknowns that are out there. If it doesn't work this year, at least you've got the concept in front of you, and we can always regroup, take a little more time if we need to, if it doesn't, and come back next year and try and make this a reality. But your support is important on this project, so thank you.
Yeah, and I would say being included in the as a partner, as the conversation goes forward and decisions are being made about what this looks like, and keep us in the loop on that and figure out what that partnership looks like as we go forward.
So we're batting two. You're batting 2-0. Now let's go to the third one.
Well, yeah. That was a foreboding message.
Derek, do you want to ask any questions about the?
I might just do a quick follow up after, if that's okay. We could just meet outside.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, it would be easy to get that way.
No problem.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you have questions about the county's past participation, I think probably Tom can give that information. Okay, so you want to talk about...
So, Doug, where do you park?
I park in the county's parking lot. I mean, once in a while, though, I park out on Fifth Street because I get abandoned there.
You ride your bike. Come on.
Oh, but when I get my bike over to the bike shop.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so the third item is for the Fifth Street modifications, and that's pretty succinct.
And I had brought this up in 2011 as well, just the overall concept. When we laid out what the various streets would look like in downtown in the 2009 plan, the idea from the traffic study that was done as part of that layout was to include bike lanes on 5th and on 11th Street. And the intent there was to connect to the bike lanes that are along Yampa and Oak, and then specifically along 5th Street down to the rodeo grounds and the core trail across the bridge. So that was an identified bike corridor. We went to council last year and provided an update on 11th Street improvements, and the adjacent property owners came out pretty much in mass and said, no way, no how, we don't want to lose any parking. So our current design on 11th Street includes diagonal parking, maintains the diagonal parking, and then puts what's called a share or shared use lane marking in the middle of those lanes so that we at least have some indication that bikes can connect at that location, which corresponds with the raised intersection down at 11th and Yampa. Fifth Street is a little bit different character because of where the core trail ties in across the bridge and the amount of use that we're getting. The other kind of benefit of putting the bike lanes in and reducing the amount of diagonal spaces is it does give us a little bit more width in the travel lanes. I don't know if you've noticed when you come down Fifth Street, the cars, especially on the other side of the street, are hanging out into that lane pretty regularly. And there's somebody down there with like a big truck that always has a snowmobile off the end. And that's starting to become problematic with the traffic increasing in Steve-O. So we're working with CDOT right now on
some signal upgrades at each one of those locations, and they're improving their bicycle detection. So in that, we're looking long-term at potentially having a left turn lane, a dedicated left turn lane at 5th Street to try to alleviate some of the 3rd Street volumes.
With from 5th Street, they call it this way, a dedicated left-hand turn onto Lincoln.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the cross-section would, if it went to parallel parking, would allow that to occur. Whether or not that goes in at this point in time, we're not committing
of course
to that right now.
That would impinge upon the bike lane itself.
No, the bike lane, it would be a center turn lane to a receiving lane, ascending lane, and then two bike lanes.
Okay.
As part of the Riverview project, which is down here at the end of third and fourth, they're going to go out here in the next month or so and redo the corners on the opposite side to allow a dedicated right turn lane. It's kind of a quasi-dedicated right turn lane at this point in time, which will allow that bike lane on the south side to come all the way up to Lincoln Avenue. We've talked with the Ski and Bike Care, with Harry. He's supportive of the modification of the parking, supportive of a bike lane. And to be transparent,
let's say park in our parking lot.
Yeah,
perhaps
overflow.
So you know, you guys are an important adjacent property owner. We don't want to go and make modifications in the city without letting everybody know first, and then kind of testing the water to see what sort of reactions everybody might have. So that's why we're here.
I think that the it's obvious that is the right place for the bike boulevard, given the connection to Yampa and to the core trail. And but we are aware that the public sort of thinks of this parking lot as a public parking lot, and we have some obligation to make sure, we are obligated to make sure our employees have parking, and that the folks who, customers, I guess, for lack of a better term, who are coming in to the county have parking. And so I think our sense, and I mean, you guys can say what you'd like, but is that we may have to enforce the parking restrictions that, I mean, there's signs there already, but we know that the broader public is utilizing that parking lot. And so whatever kind of outcry that might create is on us, right?
Yeah, we can be the bad guys for this bike lane.
I mean, that's sort of the reality of what we're talking about, is that we end up being the bad guys for the sake of the bike lane.
So I guess follow up, you know, again, I'm sympathetic with the 3rd Street, you know, and maybe potentially the relieving of some of that 3rd Street left-hand turn, you know, and I think that's probably a good thing. And I don't think it's probably, I don't have a problem with the traffic, and I don't have a problem with the left-hand turn lane, too. But I'm just, and again, you know me, you guys all know my battles we've had about parking downtown and the rest, and we ended up not putting the Justice Center downtown. And then getting, you know, our $1 million wetlands that we have out there, you know, kind of still. But then while we have plenty of parking down here, which we really don't and didn't then, and we still don't. So again, and then you follow that up with some of the approvals that's been made with City Council and the rest about additions of shops and specifically the community center here. And then not mandating some type of an alternative parking at the fairgrounds as the rest, and coming across 5th Street for the parking for the... There wasn't adequate parking over here at all. And so so we're getting that overflow. We're getting downtown overflow, just like I'm sure you guys' parking lot shouldn't be for the... it's not so bad as paying customers or parking there, but it's kind of bad when the retail help is parking in your parking lot. So again, as Beth said, you know, I think it'll probably end up leading to, you know, so we're still trying to figure out. We put in the new signs; those are all new. You know that this is a private parking lot; it isn't a public. And I know you guys, the city brochures and the rest, doesn't refer to it as a public parking lot. It hasn't. Anyhow, so again, we're just trying to take care of our needs to service our customers too. So, anyhow, I enough said, but I'm supportive of whatever, it's going to be interesting how it's going to work. I really have appreciated the angled parking lot, but I can see long-term it's not going to work. And again, it was a long-term vision, especially with the bridge across the Yampa, that Fifth Street was going to be a man. That's why we put a stoplight there. That's why there's a stoplight there. So I can understand all of those things. And, you know, we're going to get stuck with one of the disbenefits of being downtown and having the historic landscape that we got here and trying to preserve what we're doing and move on.
Yeah, so I don't think you're going to hear any crazy outcry from us, but just would like you to appreciate the impact that it's going to have, and we know that to some degree we're probably going to have to end up being the bad guys on what a lot of folks perceive as
either that or, you know, at some point in time, some other commissioners at another time, the land's there. The potential, when we designed originally, we were looking at having an underground garage and having a two-layer garage. If some people want to come downtown and help us, you know, and the rest, we can't finance that with what our team.
Public-private partnership.
Well, you guys have actually talked about that as well, have you not? I mean, with your parking structures. I mean, parking areas.
Yep. And then I Eden Oak, that's kind of been a landing zone for a potential garage.
9th and Oak, you said?
8th and Oak.
8th and Oak. Yeah.
Right, 8th Street.
Exactly, yeah. But, and again, how do you finance that? And who helps pay for it? When really what we're trying to, what they are trying to do is bring customers downtown. I was great with that, too. It's just, we're just trying to still preserve an historic landmark here and, you know, working environment, too. So we got to keep those things in track, too. So,
how many people do we have that work in this building? I just don't know off the top of my head.
I don't have that number either.
We've kind of a sense of what that is, yeah. I don't know.
There's got to be 100.
There's
well more than the parking lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's trade-offs in everything we do. I mean, enhancing bicycle travel in downtown is a good thing. I ride my bike right through there a number of times, and sometimes it's a little hairy. It would be nice to have a little protection there. And certainly, you know, the downtown traffic is an issue for everybody. To the extent we can make that safer, make this intersection safer, take pressure off of 3rd Street. I mean, if you have to lose 20 parking places to accomplish that, that's a trade-off. You guys, it sounds like, have already determined that that's a trade-off you're willing to live with.
Well, I think we're hearing some feedback, and we can take it back and make sure that we're all on the same page if we make a change and report that as necessary. But we wanted to
appreciate that.
Some of your thoughts.
Do you guys have a question? Do you have signage in the back part? Not very observant, saying county employees, visitors.
It says Route County business only.
Yeah,
because it's
right.
Not just employees. You know, people come into the clerk's office or
yeah,
the manager's office or here for meetings.
So we just put it in. It's about October.
That can take a while to take. It works behind City Hall pretty well because we got the lodge right next door. Some people seem to respect that, and we post the hours, and then you come down here for special events. It just fills up with the public. But generally, they respect that. Occasionally, we'll see someone park a camper out there that will go knock on their window.
Yeah.
See what they're up to. But
Question I'd have then, so on the other side of Lincoln then, on the east side, it's angle parking there. Was that be removed too?
I think there's 5 or 6 spaces that would be changed to parallel.
Parallel, okay.
So it would go down to like 2 or 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we're always mindful of parking. We hear about parking
since the 70s. Since before me or Ben were born, people complaining about parking.
Still be talking about it in 30 years.
Absolutely. I think that's everything on your list, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Really appreciate your time.
Three big wins.
I feel sorry for whoever scheduled next from the city.
Yeah. You've got to make a balance.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Else asking for money.
Yeah.
So do you have time now? You guys have time? Do you want to meet with me for a minute?
Sure.
We have one more item from Mo.
I
think we'll be okay.
Yeah. And
thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fine. Fine with me.
Yeah.
happen so that you all have already
some notes for the minutes. Great. So we are considering a one-time expenditure to support the 2019 Wildfire Mitigation Conference, in which is in May.
In Steamboat.
In Steamboat. And I think this is a great opportunity. We've said this many times to Mo, but just that it's a great opportunity to raise awareness of wildfire and mitigation in our community. And it sounds like it'll bring together a lot of regional as well as local folks to support just thinking about wildfire and the future of that. And so as we've discussed with Mo, we're happy to support that effort. Maybe we can note the three goals as well, which are to raise awareness and provide information on past and current wildfire mitigation efforts, to build upon and replicate success stories, and to learn about resources available in Routt County to reduce the risk of wildfire through mitigation.
So I would agree. I think that this is a great thing, and I think the bottom of our communication form, the quoted sentence, "A dollar invested in mitigation saves many more dollars in firefighting," given the fact that we've been spending in excess of $300,000 per year over the last 2 years fighting wildfires, I think spending $1,000 to really learn more about mitigation is, I think, something that would show a great return on investment.
And he didn't list in here the various partners, but, you know, I appreciate that it's not just Routt County. We really are partnering with several other agencies. I remember that the Board of Realtors is participating. Yep. The Forest Service indicated that they're participating financially. I don't know who else was on that list, but being a partner, I think, is important in these efforts.
So, Madam Chair, I would move to approve and authorize a $1,000 one-time expenditure to support the 2019 Wildfire Mitigation Conference in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, noting that that expenditure would come from the County Commissioner's discretionary budget.
Second. And any other discussion of that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good.
All right. We'll adjourn. Thank you.